Tufts Freeform Radio.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Sucking in the 70s, WMFO, Medford. My name is Chris Earle. I'm here with Larry Rapucci today.
Hi.
Fresh from Nebraska.
Ugh.
What a dump that place is. How did you stand it? How many years were you there? A
couple of years.
Ugh.
There's not much going on there. I was considered pretty hot there compared to the jumbalinas that walked around.
In the background is The Grand Delusion by Styx. I thought
yes.
This was somewhat appropriate. We're living the Grand Delusion.
Because of me.
So I had been to the Midwest a number of times, and when I went, I decided, you know what, I had enough, but I had to go for work. And these were states that I never wanted to visit in any way.
What kind of work? Comedy?
No, this was my well-paying corporate job from years ago when I was important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when people respected me and people actually gave me money for my talents.
When you worked in a call center with me.
Well, that was after the role. That was part of my great fall. That was part of my great professional fall. But I was doing all right there too, because I was training at that point, at that place. I was on the call center and then I was training. And you got to be part of my class.
That's right.
That was exciting.
That stupid label, Men at Work. Do you remember that? That stupid piece of paper you printed up.
That was the best. I put together this training piece that had like 80s references on it that nobody got because they were all millennials, except for people like you and anybody who had half a brain who lived through the 70s and 80s.
Do you remember Sandy?
And I got away with it.
Sandy Kitchen worked with us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember her.
And you were kind of preoccupied. You used the word, I can say C-A-N-S.
Yes.
The term you use for a woman's chest cavity. That's all you do is walk around going, nice cans. And it's like, and I thought a can was a fanny.
Yeah.
But it's your terminology is nice cans.
At one point, she was on a break, right? She was looking out the window, right? And this is in an area where there was construction done, so there's literally nothing going on this entire floor. She was on the second floor having a break, looking out the window, eating like a granola bar. Yeah. And she was one of the people that had not even a granola bar. It was one of those people that would eat granola from the cup of their hand. And she was staring out the window, and she's literally in an off-access, you know, no-access floor. And, of course, I'm sitting there, and there's nails, and there's, like, old ripped-out boards, and just construction, just things torn down everywhere. And I'm like, what are you doing, Sandy? And I'm like, you're not supposed to be in the air, because I was kind of a leader. I was at supervisory level, so I was kind of a leader. I had to look out for people. Yeah. And she goes, I'm looking at the birdies. Oh, that was her answer to me. And this woman is, like, 39, maybe?
Yeah.
Eating granola out of a cup of those. So that was the caliber of people that we were working with.
It wasn't fun, and I bumped into her in a bowling alley in Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mark Maron. My guest is Chris Earl today. And later on, we have Joey Diaz coming in. He's going to talk about why not to do edibles.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have the Joe Rogan podcast, and tonight we'll sleep in the chamber.
Yeah. Yeah, the cold chamber.
How crazy is that? He sleeps in a chamber every night.
Well,
I've done the chamber, and it's nice. 60 minutes, 90 minutes, it enhances your senses. But this guy, like, sleeps in it all night. Did you hear about this, Joe Rogan?
I heard it's 2, 3, 4 minutes. I don't know who you're talking to.
Oh, I heard he was, like, sitting in there and, like, showering in it.
Do you know what would be funny if we both went in there with Joe Rogan for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
We both have different point of views about how long we spent in there. We have different time frames.
Yeah. It was forever. It was like, oh, it was too short.
Let me give a time
check. I just wanted to enjoy it.
It's coming up on
I was just starting to get moist.
2:08.
Just starting to get moist. I like how everybody's jumping on that moist word.
Like,
you have Santorelli doing it. It's hilarious. He does it. And then all of a sudden, you have so many other people talking about moist. And you enjoy the word moist. And I enjoy it. Most people
do. I like it.
The combination of the OI and the ST.
You know, you mentioned Frank Santorelli's name. Mm-hmm. There are 3 or 4 Boston comedians back in the day. I know I ticked off internally and externally. They let me know how much they weren't crazy about me or my act.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I left Nebraska, because there's really not much going on there. There's no funny people.
I feel like I'm continuing the Larry Rapucci of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm continuing to have that, you know what, I don't care what anybody think.
Well,
see you later.
That's what I said.
I'm a good person.
But this is what it is. You know how you say something inappropriate to someone?
Sure, all the time.
And it bothers you for a few days?
Mm.
So I stop being inappropriate, because all it does is screw me up.
But then you become kind of a sissy.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back and fix it with, like, Frank Santorelli, if he'll have me.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Zito, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about that one. And I don't care about name dropping, because, you know, what people don't know that don't do comedy is you try writing a joke.
Right.
You try being a personality in front of people you're never going to see again. It's just too much.
Let's talk about all these new comics, or ones that haven't even done it for a while, and they all call themselves writers. I'm like, what are you writing? It's like you just talked about, you know, your genitals for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You talked about comic books. You talked about, you know.
Right, screaming about comic books irritates me.
Yeah.
Because I don't like comic books.
I heard, I saw a clip of Sam Kinison doing his first Letterman special. And he does that whole thing about the desert. Fantastic. You know, brilliant.
The
you know,
cameraman.
The cameraman with the sandwich in the desert.
Yep.
And I guess Joe Rogan mentioned it on his podcast. So, of course, you know, I've seen looking at some of the YouTube comments. And, of course, people are in their teens or 20s or even 30s and saying, I don't get this guy. And I'm like, it's a matter of being there at the right time. This Sam Kinison's genius. Do you agree?
I
loved him.
Of course.
I thought he was fantastic.
Right.
He was saying something that, and that's the best comedy, saying something that's on everybody's mind, but they don't say it.
Right.
And also the point of the preaching and the point of this is a guy's point of view. I screwed up my life, you know, but with women, and I love all women. You know, and that was you know, his fix. And then, of course, he gets hit by a drunk driver. Whether or not that happened, who knows?
Is it inappropriate to do my I love women joke?
It might be.
Okay. Tell me the story.
I think it is.
Okay, that's okay. That's why I'm embracing you, because, you know, I can't rehearse to be funny. It's just got to fly.
I was playing Glenn Campbell, Coward of the County. Okay. And Coward of the County has to do with a boy who likes a girl. His father tells him, you know what, I'm in jail. He dies at 10 years old. I don't know if you're familiar with the song, The Coward of the County.
Yep, Kenny Rogers covered it.
Great tune. So this kid, his father dies at 10 years old. And his father always said, don't do what I did. Turn the other cheek. So everybody calls him a coward his whole life. And then all of a sudden, this girl that he likes, all the guys come after her, and they basically, you know, have their way with her. They rape her. And the guy goes and beats him up. And that's the story. And he says, I'm not the coward of the county anymore. So I came back and I talked about the fact that in 1980, you can have a number one hit in January about that, and you wouldn't have it now. But someone out there in Radioland found it incredibly offensive.
A listener.
Oh. Yeah. Of course, an anonymous person.
Locked phone number.
So it could be an old friend, a business associate, whoever.
Someone that don't like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So I'm making a point, and I basically had talked about that, and so I gave the feedback. Well, let's listen to the clip. Let's give the feedback, and this is what I said, and I left it at that. And I said, what we can do is we can fill up our time with somebody else on the show. Want to do that? I can give up my time. I'll give it to somebody else. It's not going to be as good of a show. Is that what you want to do? We can do that.
This is radio management. You proposed that to?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what was the outcome?
The result was, well, I took a little break, and here we are today on the same show that I got in trouble for.
This just happened a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago. Yeah.
Sorry, I was in Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just bizarre. And it's like nowadays, and I don't know if you follow the news a little bit.
A lot.
You do
top
a lot?
Of the hour, WBZ AM 1030.
Nice. There you go. That's where I get all my news. And I listen for the weather and the traffic, and it happens almost all the time. And
condensed.
That's what I love about it. It's just beautiful.
It's not on all day. It's condensed. 3 or 4 minutes. Bang. I know what's going down.
They used to play things like this in the background. We got the spinners with... It's the spinners with games people play. 1975. They used to do BZ, and they'd play something like this, and it's AM radio, so it sounds awful, you know? It sounds beautiful, but at the same time, you hear all the...
You can sleep to AM radio.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
Keep it on low. If there's another 9/11, I know before everybody else at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, but so with the news, you know, this anonymous thing, whatever somebody in the White House said, you know, anonymous, you know, come out. It's like stop being a coward and say, you know what, because they want the best of both worlds. They want to keep their job and they want to complain. They want to have it on both sides. You can't have both sides. You got to choose a side.
If you have Facebook or an email address, you can never be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You have an email address, your information's out there.
Yeah.
Whatever you put about yourself.
Right.
I keep switching my birthday on Facebook from March to November.
I was famous for that. I don't know if you knew that, but they actually changed the policy because of people like me.
What is it now?
You can only change it twice. And then it's over.
Oh.
I have a block on it, so I can't change my birthday. So one of my running gags was I had all these friends on Facebook, and I like to manipulate Facebook like I do with people at times. And so I'd changed my birthday from the actual birthday to just random dates. So it'd be like January 17th. Everybody says happy birthday and 100 messages say happy birthday. And then I'd change it to January 29th. So 12 days later, everybody's saying happy birthday again. And other people are like, wasn't it just your birthday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some people started to get that I was joking. And then you would see who are the people that know you and who are the people that are have no idea who you are, you know, just that are saying happy birthday 12 days later again.
You're a troublemaker.
Right? But there are, I am a troublemaker.
Yeah.
But I like to push those buttons. I like people to think. That's the thing. I like people to think. Rather than push the buttons and manipulate, I like people to think about what they're doing and why they do it.
Listen, if you're born a dog, you can't die a cat. Forget about making people think. You want to change things? Change you.
Mm-hmm.
People say, I want to make a difference. You want to make a difference? Take a bath and get a job.
You know what, though? I kind of like me. And I've gone through periods where I don't. And then I realize, right. You know what? It's not me. It's the other people.
Right. Yeah. Right now you like yourself because I can tell you're fairly relaxed around me. The bad thing about that is if you get too relaxed, you're in more trouble.
Yeah, because I take my shirt off.
Oh, please don't do that. We already know you're on a ride you can't get tickets to. Please remain clothed because it'll lay you off for two more weeks. And I know you don't get paid for this.
The cold as ice in the background, the Foreigner. This was a great band. And fabulous. It's getting lost in time, don't you think?
Yes. Did you ever hear Society's Child by Janis Ian?
Yes.
Did you ever
hear Janis Ian on the playlist.
Did you ever hear Lou Gramm's version?
No.
You should look that up on YouBoob.
Nice.
That'd be a good song to kick it off. And then I'm going to go gargle with Lavoris and tighten my suspenders.
Nice.
And sit down and tinkle.
I loved the Lavoris. It was red, right?
That's right.
That's right. It was red. So good.
Yeah, there's something. I need two more favors, too.
Yes.
Whether or not, and I'm talking to you directly, whether or not you get along with Ralph Joel, you used to get along with him, you no longer get along with him.
I haven't heard from him.
I'm just saying, I don't care what status. Because I would.
I like him.
Me, too. He was in the hospital 2 days, and I posted my phone number.
Did he have gas?
I don't know. I don't know if he drives. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is, I don't drive. He's been released from the hospital. I posted my phone number online. I'm under Richard Paul Rappucci on Facebook after my dead brother.
Mm-hmm. He was the older brother. He should have looked out for me. He went and died on me. But that's how funny I am. I got two dead brothers. That's how good I am. That's how funny I am.
So anyway, if you want to send him a message online, Ralphie Joel.
Right now?
No, not you. I'm talking to the 1.5 Cretans listening to us.
No. We have the highest rated show. Well, on Wednesdays we do.
No, it's down. You said it's downloaded. That's because
that was a joke.
Everybody's busy today.
The most downloaded joke.
They listen to it on their schedule.
Oh no, we have quite a few listeners right now.
And the other thing,
not as many as my Wednesday show, but we have a few.
Oh, you can tell how many people are listening.
Well, I can see some.
Some people logged in.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Some things don't change. Mm-hmm. The other thing. Do you remember Jim DeCroto? He recently passed away August 3rd.
Right, okay.
When I was homeless in Lowell, a Lowell detective came out in the woods and rescued me for one day. I was in the midst of beating a crackhead up.
Yes,
and you
told
know
me that story.
I never wanted to be in a fight because I never wanted to be 0-1.
Yeah.
But now I'm 1-0! So, anyway, I met a very excellent person from Medford, my hometown, named Steve. I'll leave his last name out because he just changed his last name. I don't know why. Just to protect the guilty, I guess.
Can we call him Gay Steve?
No, because he's a detective in Lowell. He'll find you.
Oh, fine, man.
So he's probably listening right now. On August 3rd, when Jim DeCroto died, I worked with him at Stevie D's up on Route 114.
Sure.
Do you know the club owner killed himself? Stevie?
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And one night, he wouldn't let me play a tape.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't play tapes in my nightclub, so I'm kind of glad he ended up blowing his brains out. Screw him. Because I've had 2 suicides and 4 murders in my family, too. That's what you get for screwing with the pooch.
Yeah.
But you couldn't find any information. What happened? Did you hear what happened to Stevie D? No, he blew his brains out.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, you can't find any information online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his real last name is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a crap about gun control. I'm not I'm proceed.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So I was thinking of maybe having some of the listeners make a comment about Jim DeCroto if they met him. I know Eddie Brill had a big, long story about Jim DeCroto. He died at 59 of diabetes, and he kind of chunked up. So he's probably, you know, didn't take his medicine because he didn't get, like us.
Yeah.
There are some days you just don't want to walk out that front door. You go, I'm just ready to lay down and die.
That's right.
All my balances aren't at zero, so I can't kill myself today.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if anybody wants to go on, I'm going to say, you can go on my Facebook page, Richard Paul Rappucci. It's really Larry Rappucci. And say something nice about Jim DeCroto. Moreover,
can I say something nice about Eddie Brill?
Yes.
I like him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
All right. Thanks for cutting my train thought off the track. It's like an Amtrak derailment. So what was I talking about? No.
Jim DeCroix.
So anyway,
yeah.
I don't know if people like Joey Carroll or Jack Lynch want to have some kind of a benefit to raise some money for either a scholarship fund or, I don't know, maybe not a scholarship fund, but to defray however it costs to bury the guy. It's like $8,500 according to what's-his-name from Jeopardy.
When did he die?
August 3rd. I said that. You should be listening.
Well, I'm the host.
And now
I'm doing other stuff. I don't have to listen.
I know. I'm taking a lozenge and taking a sip of coffee. I see. So I'm in Nebraska all by myself, August 3rd, living in a trailer park.
Yeah.
And that's what it hit me. And it's like, it's just, I don't know what to do.
So you're close.
Yeah, Jim. Well, Jim helped me one night. The night at Stevie D's when the club owner wouldn't let me play a tape because I did a lip sync thing. I don't know if you've seen it before.
Yeah.
It starts off as The Temptations. It ends at Tina Turner.
Sure.
Okay. And dancing like a white guy in the middle, which is funnier than whatever I'm trying to lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of complaining to Jim. Why won't they let me play that? I'm only doing 10 minutes. I'm hosting. And that takes seven. Then I tell a few jokes and bring the next act up.
Sure.
And Jim said, don't have a meltdown. The man's obviously complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't. He helped me because I was getting all bent out of shape.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I know.
There's people that aren't creative.
This is 1989. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you were younger.
I was young and needed the money.
You were. I don't know if you know this. I think I told you this. You and I were on the same first show that I did.
How did we meet? I've been dying to ask you. How do we meet and where do we first work?
I was on Catch Your Eyes and Star in 1987,
They let you drink at the bar.
They let me drink at the bar. And I was young. I mean, I was like 17 years old. And I got up and I did a few bits about Paul Abdul. And I did some stuff about time travel, which is basically why I named the show Time Travel. It was one of my first jokes that I wrote. And it was like 2 minutes long, and then I just shortened it to, a lot of people talk about time travel and left it at that. But you were on the show. Stephen Wright was on the show.
Wow.
Brian Longwell was on the show.
John Priest.
Maybe.
David Cross.
Those were the three that I remember from years later. Because I had written down like all this stuff too. And I used to take the train in from my hometown of Tewksbury. I used to come into Wilmington or Bill Ricka, and I took the train and I'd go to record stores and I started hanging around the comedy clubs. And then one night I just ended up going up and just started talking about some stuff. And then did a couple of years and then just disappeared, went to college and
did
a few things
when
there.
When you first saw me, did you find me funny?
Yeah, you were funny.
Or entertaining, or both?
There was another guy there that was talking about, he didn't like my shirt because I had like a Hawaiian shirt and he called me like a member of Menudo or something. And
Kevin Flynn.
It may have been.
Yeah, he used the word Menudo in his act.
Yeah. And it was fun. I mean, back then, it was of course like a Tuesday or Wednesday night. It was packed,
It was always packed.
Yeah, it was great.
Even on open mic night, it was packed, and you had 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Not enough time.
Yeah. No. And what was funny is there was always people like, oh, I was terrible the first time I was. I wasn't terrible. I was good. I was funny.
I was surprisingly okay. But were you nervous out of your mind?
No, never.
You don't think there's anything wrong with not being nervous?
I don't know. I think maybe it's, I think I'm hyper-evolved. I think that's what it is.
Well, aren't there some nights
I have less hair than most people.
It don't matter. I'll take you how you are. I almost swore. Listen, don't you think, were there times you're about to be introduced 5, 6, 7, 8 years into your career and you go, I've done this before. Why am I so nervous?
Yes.
Did you become shaky?
No. There was times that I became bored and you get on autopilot.
I don't know if I believe you. That
really?
You were never nervous.
Well, I'm nervous.
Are you that confident?
You know what I'm nervous around? Women.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, that's about it.
Troublemakers.
Unless I got a mic in my hand, then I don't care. Then I say whatever's on my mind.
Hey, babe, we'll be back to pick you up on the way back.
You know what else I noticed? I think my problem over the last few years is Facebook and texting also became a microphone for me. So a lot of people
did not
understand what I was saying. If I was joking, they'd get very offended by what I was saying.
You're a good comedian. You have a great voice.
Thank you.
Why would you want to translate the text? You cannot hear that.
I know.
Why?
It was mostly for me.
It's all about you.
It was mostly for me. I was just trying stuff out on my poor friends that have gone in the past.
It's about you.
This big pile of
it's
friends.
It's about you, Marcy Rose, yes. Tom Dunham,
mm-hmm.
Mark Rossi.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob Carney. Hi. He's one of my built-in fans. I like him.
I like Bob, yeah.
I like 90% of him. There's a couple of things I got to talk to him about, but I texted him. I said,
hey, you think he'd look better with contacts?
I don't know. I'm really kind of surprised how he looks today, but I can't do much about it. He looks like Max Headroom with an eating disorder.
He's a handsome man.
Well, the thing is, you know what? I'm just glad he's married and he's keeping his family together and no one's getting in. No one's going to break that man's family up. And that's what nice. I admire about him because yeah. I know it's not easy being.
Don't challenge me.
It's not easy being in love or in like with someone. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, you got to be. Yeah.
I like this format of the music Loba. Can we cue up maybe?
You want to listen to something?
I want to hear Lou Gramm do Society's Child.
All right.
But I want to do a little bit of an impression and talk the record up. And then I'm going to point to you and you release pause. Okay.
All right, I got to do some work then.
Did you go to broadcasting school?
You know what? It was the Chris Earl School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, you probably should have went. Anyway.
No, I did actually. I did.
Where? Where'd you go to Graham Junior
College? I did that one that's down in, that was down in Wellesley.
Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
I did.
Come on.
I did, yeah.
What year did you graduate?
It was like, what was it, like 90? It was 94. 94.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out for about a year and then I went there, yeah.
I went to Northeast Broadcasting School from 1977 to 79 on Marlboro Street.
Nice.
And, radio announcers and TV producers taught the classes. And here's the funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
I flunked speech because I had to run out of the class doing a five-minute impromptu speech.
You flunked it?
I ran out of the class.
Why?
Nervous? I'm petrified.
No, come on.
No, listen, you may not know this. You may not see this when you watch me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of still petrified to perform.
Really?
Yeah, I don't go through streaks where I'm feeling, I feel like Chuck Connors tonight. It's going to be great. No, how am I going to make these people like me?
You know, yeah. You
know how am I going to do it?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you say that. That's what you see.
You're fine.
What about what I see?
What I don't like is I just got to the point, I'm so sick, and this is, again, the selfish thing in me. It's just like I'm so sick of watching amateurs or people that don't even try. They're not even trying. And people, and here's the real rub, is people that have been around for a while, and they're not even any better. They just go
for
years and years, and they're drinking at the bar, and they're doing it to be social. Well, there's a social network.
That's what
group.
You did. You drank at the bar first,
drank,
then you went
I
on.
I love drinking.
I know. You're red. You can tell.
But that was part of it. And that was also part of the old Chris, which was always staying up late and thinking that I'm going to miss something. You know, and it's like there was that great, it was like the Dave Attell joke. It's like, oh, 5 minutes after you left, you know, and it's never going to happen again, you know. But it, you know, I just stayed up and, you know, partied. And, you know, I think that was part of the subculture. Was it a culture or a subculture of the comedian?
I think it's a sect. No,
because you have a whole bunch of drunks and you have people that never get back from drugs and alcohol. They're just disasters.
Before we kick into Lou Gramm, tell that stupid UMass contest story with Jerry Seinfeld you told me about.
This is
a great story.
I'll tell you that one. Let me play Lou Gramm and then we'll come back. So
all
I'm
right.
here with Larry Rapucci. My name is Chris Earl. And hi. People other thing they're like, oh my God. I had my friend Winston on here and we were doing the 70s show and we were talking like, oh my God, you guys are talking so much. You're not playing any of the songs. Some of the songs are great in the background. Well, you know what? Change the channel.
It's my show.
No, it's my show. We'll do what
and
we want.
You've heard all these songs before. You haven't heard us before.
That's right. That's right.
We're not like Daryl Hall and John Oates or Gag Me and Waste Me, but we're pretty good together so far. So shut up and go to bed.
That's right. All right. So Lou Gramm's coming up, and I got some Debbie Boone in the background. You light up my life.
And this cover Lou Gramm singing Society's Child was originally done by
Janice Ian. One
Janice
of the
Ian,
great
who sang at 17.
Yes.
Which... It's like covering the Beatles. This is how good of a job Lou Gramm did.
Yeah, she's great.
You're not going to cut the song short to go to that?
Well, I can, but I just want to play You Light Up My Life.
You Light Up My Bulb.
Yes. This was just like
one of those. I like this song.
I was going to play it, and then I was going to come back, and I was going to intro with You Light Up My Life, Larry, you know?
Okay.
So I thought that was going to be funny.
You blew your cover. Man.
Yeah. That's all right. I think Lou Gramm's Society's Child, that's a nice build-up for that.
It's too bad Sonny Joe White can't stop by. He's dead. We're going to meet at Tello's later.
We should call up Shadow Stevens.
Did he die too?
No. I don't think so.
Listen, want to meet us at Tello's later? Sonny Joe White. They just moved BZ over to Wellington Circle in Medford. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's in the same building as Kiss. Come
by. Oh, my God.
I'll autograph a tie from Tello's.
Is Lou Gramm, Society's Child. It's Sucking in the 70s here with you till 5 p.m.
No talking, just listen.
Could it be fun? line. Till they turned and said, why don't you stick to your own kind? My teacher's laugh and crooked stare cutting me down, they hated my hair. This is a big prophecy. They say believe it, but why was they just let us be? I'm gonna raise my head up high. One of these days I'm gonna spread my glistening wings and fly. But that day will have to wait for a while. Baby, I'm only society
Love it. It's great. Society's Child, written by one of the great songwriters of the 70s.
I don't know who
Janis, is. Janis Ian.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the
greatest songwriters of the 70s, don't you think?
Yeah, she likes girls, though, right?
I would think so.
No, she does. She came out, and I asked her once, do you want to march in my parade? And she slapped me.
We got Dublin. We have Limerick listening to us.
Imagine
over
that.
Over in Ireland. Yeah, we have my friends in Limerick just asked for something from Deliverance for Burt Reynolds.
Dude, you're a worldwide phenomenon, but nobody in Swampscott cares.
I know. It's crazy. And nobody in the comedy world cares either. They don't understand this precious gem that they have before them that just needs to be shined every now and then.
This is the hardest artistic medium, radio.
I think so, too.
It is.
And I'm good at it.
Yeah, well, you got a good voice.
Yeah.
You're relatively easy to deal with so far.
Well, yeah. Well,
but
you're a guy.
You know, your mask could fall off anytime too.
That's true.
Walk by someone and go, huh, this person looks like they're worth knowing. Let me say hello.
No.
How you doing?
Yeah.
I was
telling you on the way over, like I said this to my father, and it's true. I realize the sadness of it is it's true. Is out of 100 people I meet, maybe 3 to 5 of them I want to know. That's about it.
That's a pretty good conversion, though.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's why I moved to Nebraska.
Yeah.
2.7 unemployment rate. That's a 97%+ conversion rate. But they thought I was Wolfman Jack or Jack Hines.
You know what's great though is you instantly become like one of the smartest people in Nebraska, if not the smartest.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean you're smart around here and this is Massachusetts. I mean we got a lot of smart people here. But you go to Nebraska, man.
Do you know what?
You're like the smartest person in the state.
I don't like to be a competitive person. I look at you. We're funny joke tellers. We got decent voices. You're no threat to me. I look at you. How can I enhance your life? How can you enhance my life?
Right.
That's why I moved back here. I need to be recommended. I may be a janitor at UMass Lowell, and that town needs cleaning up, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know.
Of course, there's people that just abuse you and use you, and then they're done with you.
Yeah, well, I don't believe in second chances. You know, I was listening to a talk show. Oh, you're going to a song. To
no,
be
I
continued.
I got some Amos Moses in the background.
I know what it is. Did you slip cue it?
We can talk over it. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We yeah. can lower
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Just don't put it louder
lower
than
just
us.
A little bit. Yeah. It was a good tune.
He did another song, too.
Another cesspool, New Orleans.
Never been there.
Oh, worst place I've ever been. Yeah. Horrible. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah. It's George Bush's fault that joke didn't work. Anyway,
what'd you think of Burt Reynolds? Now, you said you never saw Deliverance, never saw The Longest
Smokey.
Yard.
No,
Never saw Smokey. It's great. Jackie Gleason, fantastic.
I know. I love Jackie Gleason, too. He's great. My second favorite comic. My third is Rich Little. Second is Jackie Gleason. First is Charlie Chaplin, who invented comedy.
Yeah.
Let's just get to it.
Yeah.
And I like silent films. I don't even like visual images unless they look like Paula Williams.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, she died.
Did she?
Yeah, she died in Rhode Island. That's like a death sentence.
Ugh, just the right smallest
there.
State.
But you know what? See, that's why I came home, too. There are three or four people I'm going to fix our sad relationship with.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a lot of healing going on.
Yeah, you got to do it for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the enemy. Like I said to you in the car ride over on the commute, I don't think I'm that bad. Maybe to some people I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd rather you tell me, Larry, I love you, but you drive me crazy. So it's okay. I appreciate you being forthright.
Remember when I left a voicemail message that said I love you and you thought I was so sweet?
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
It was a couple years ago. I haven't said it since. You've been in Nebraska.
Yeah. I think I may remember, but
yeah,
I don't know. People say, I have so many phone numbers for you. No, yeah. I don't even have a phone.
Yeah.
I didn't back then.
No.
Because, like you, there comes a point where you go, okay, I'm peopled out.
Yeah.
I'm worked out. I'm walking down the street out.
Yeah.
I just want to barricade myself and maybe watch some Burt Reynolds movies. I saw The Longest Yard. I didn't see Deliverance because I don't want to see what Ned Beatty looks like in you know, Haynes.
Oh, it's good.
No, it's gross.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a horror movie. I mean, it becomes a
like
horror
movie.
Yeah.
I don't like movies in general. You know why?
Why?
There are more bad movies than good movies. Come on, Slip Q.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's true.
Do you know how to spell Q?
Q?
Mm-hmm.
That's it, isn't it?
No, it's a word, Q.
Oh, Q-U-E-U-E.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody down there in Brockton that thought it was C-U-E? I did.
I was looking at a movie review the other day, and they misspelled a word. It was like friend, and they spelled it fiend. And they spelled friend fiend like not only once, like 12 times. And as soon as I see a misspelling in the beginning of a review or a sentence, I don't want to read the rest of the review. I'm like, your opinion doesn't matter to me. You don't even, it's not a typo if you've done it 12 times. It just means you're dumb.
I'd rather see a typo than hear a Boston accent with no R in it. I had somebody somebody from Riviera once ask me, are you a queerdo? And I go, what's that? And he said, it's a queer that's a weirdo.
Oh.
So I use that. I think it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
I like the rock and roll mentality of Revere.
Mm-hmm. Is that a palindrome?
What? I don't know what that is.
Or a palindrome?
Yeah. Just tell me. That's the one that goes back and forth.
I don't know. That's why I'm like, I don't know if it's a palindrome. So palindrome's the one that goes back and forth, not an anagram. A word, a phrase, a sequence that reads the same backwards as forwards. So the answer is no. Like madam or nurse's run.
I don't know. You went to Connecticut Broadcasting School and you still use Google.
Well,
what's wrong with you?
This is what I'm learning about life as I get older, is I forget things.
Yeah.
And you have those moments, and it's true. It's part of the aging process. You just completely forget things. Like, there was something like, you know, my father was talking about something, and the answer was like Martin Scorsese. And I forgot who Martin Scorsese was for a minute. So I'm
like,
you know, that guy. But it was also because I was so flustered because he was talking so much. It was one of those where 1,000-word conversations to my two.
Here's how you handle that next time.
Yes.
You want to make a point about Martin Scorsese, whatever it is, and your father is trying to cram 50 words into one.
Yeah.
Let him speak, and he'll trigger what you forgot.
That's true.
You hang in there 30 seconds, you'll get it back.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how you do it.
It's hard. My father, he drove over to see me the other day at the house. This is a great dad story. And my father's talking the whole time, you know, complaining about his life. And his life's pretty easy. His life's pretty good. He's got some money. He's had money. He's got a wife and he's got a kid and, you know, a couple of kids.
Is the wife your mom?
No, no. It's
so that's
stepmother.
Not that easy.
No, no.
Carry on.
You're right. So he basically comes over to my house and it was trash day, of course.
So I brought
out the trash to the end of the driveway. And my father is talking to me as I'm bringing the trash out. And what I did was I deliberately put the trash over to the side of the end of the end of the driveway. So it was almost on the lawn. And then about 10 minutes later, my dad backed up over my lawn into my trash can and knocked it over.
So what?
And then he got out and he looked at his bumper for 15 minutes. And then he picked up my trash can and drove away. And, well, the funny part was I went into the house. I heard the hit. And I saw it on my camera. And I'm like, I'm not going outside. I'll wait for him. And I looked at him, look at his bumper for 15 minutes, and then pick up the trash can and then slowly drive away. I'm just like, it's another 2-hour conversation, you know?
Yeah, but well, tell me about your dad. I never met him. How old is he?
Let's see. So 43, he's 75. He's doing all right. He's got so much energy. It's crazy. But he's also half my size.
What about your mom?
Oh, she's 70, let's see. So she's 73? Yeah, yeah.
Not in a rest home? She still has a life?
Yeah, she's doing all right. Well, actually, let me think. Yeah. She and her rest home? No. I'm trying to think of her age.
I never met them.
70, she's 72. Yeah.
She's not out of her mind. She's still intact.
No, she's on her third husband, and, you know, she's off in the woods. You know, they built a house.
I don't want to meet her.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you.
She's very charming. Both my dad and my mom are charming. But they're crazy.
Did your parents, I know I can ask you anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your parents, did they split while you were young?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I think 4 or 5. Let me think. So yeah. 76, 77? Yes. Yes, 76.
That's how funny you are.
Yeah, yeah.
If your
true.
Parents were still together and you went over every Sunday for dinner?
Yeah.
This is our fine comedian son we raised. Well, you had nothing to do with my sense of humor, but
right.
Thank you for the words.
Yes.
If your family was still intact, you'd be totally ineffective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You need this darkness to function on, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
I was watching some old talk shows, and I'm going to play the Deliverance thing in 1 second here, but I wanted to ask you this while I'm thinking of it. And it's Dick Cavett.
He's great.
Dick Cavett, great interviewer. Some of the best old shows. Do you think he was a funny comic?
Well, he was a writer.
Right.
So I would say he was a better writer than an adequate comic, great writer.
Yes.
Great
okay.
interviewer.
All right. I agree.
He wrote for Johnny Carson, for God's sakes.
I know.
I said for cripe's sakes.
I know. He's good. I like the fact that he's still around.
Yeah.
So, one other thing for Burt Reynolds.
Okay.
Hooper. You ever see that?
No.
Oh, you got to see
you
Hooper.
You recommend it?
The Greatest American Stuntman. Yeah. It's got okay. Jan Michael Vincent in it. So, there's a letter grade ahead right there. And they have to get in this, I think it's a Trans Am in that one, too, just like Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay.
And they have to go over a bridge that's been broken down. So, they're stuntmen, and they do all these stunts through the movie. And they attach, like, a jet engine to the car to get over the bridge with him and Jan Michael Vincent. And you don't know if they're going to survive or not.
Is Dom DeLuise in it?
He doesn't show up in this one.
Okay.
He might even have a cameo, actually. But there is a girl that strips for him, and she comes out of like an oil barrel early in the movie. And for like 8-year-old Chris, that was heaven for me in a PG movie because you got to see boobs.
Peach,
you know,
Peach Fuzz Chris.
Yes, that's right.
I can say that.
That's right.
You have no 7-second delay?
No.
Maybe you should have a benefit and get one.
I know, I should.
I was listening to Michael Savage the other day, and he coughed on the air.
Yeah.
And he goes, I should have used my cough switch, but I don't know where it is. He's like, hey, just sneeze, cough, say, I'll be right with you.
This goes out to Limerick, Ireland.
Thanks for listening.
John and Lorraine. Thanks for listening. And goodbye, Burt Reynolds. Go check out Hooper if you haven't seen Hooper. And Smokey and the Bandit, fantastic movie. And of course, The Cannonball Run, one of my favorite movies of all time.
He hosted The Tonight Show a lot, too. Burt Reynolds, fabulous host. I don't know about his interviewing skills, but
handsome,
you know.
Man. And good taste in women.
The ratings had to go up when he was on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
him about his hair. I don't think you understood me. I want to get some drivers to drive this car and that car down to Aintree. Drivers, you understand?
I might get a driver, brother.
Who?
A driver, brother.
Where do they live?
They live back over that way.
I believe you could.
That's good.
Yeah, it's very good. Very
God
good.
Damn, you play a mean banjo.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. 2 days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. Then one day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, 'cause every day I had to work the fields, 'cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another day. So years have passed and all the kids have grown. They just took mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I can still hear Papa's voice say, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I've tried to do my best. It's up to you.
Stones live from Detroit in the background. When the whip comes down.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize it. It's a little faster because it's live.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you know what album this is from?
This is from Sucking in the 70s. Okay. Where I got the name of the show, of course.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. Did you like how I put Chris Earl in the font of the Rolling Stones?
I must have missed that.
You missed that?
Yeah.
See, these are the extra things that Chris Earl does for excellence, for perfection.
But I don't like visual images.
Well, some people enjoy it. I bet you Mick would enjoy that.
Who?
Mick?
Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
He just turned 75.
Yeah. He's as old as my dad. I think about that sometimes. Like, what if Mick Jagger was my dad? That would have been fun.
Yeah, you wouldn't be here.
No, no. Or, well, I'd be here with 100 other siblings.
You can book.
My dad did pretty well for himself, though.
Why don't you let your father bankroll a theater or something? Let him rent a theater and sell some tickets.
He doesn't believe in entertainment. He doesn't. He has never bought a tape, a record, or a CD. Can you believe that?
Really?
This man has never purchased a tape, a record, or a CD. My uncle told me that too when we went out. My uncle had passed away a couple years ago, but he said your father has never purchased any record, tape, or CD, because he could always listen to radio. It was free.
What about attending concerts? You didn't tell me he never saw Tony Bennett?
He could go to concerts, and it's mostly because the wife wanted to go. Or, what? You know.
Second wife.
It could be the first wife. It could be a date, but it was basically to get laid, of course.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people are like over 70 and they're still chasing private parts.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
What's interesting to me is I asked him like a direct question, like, what's your favorite band? And he couldn't answer it to me. And what he answered was his wife's favorite bands, because she wanted to go see the thing. So he has he doesn't have a favorite band. He has whatever, which is, I guess, that 50s mentality, 50s and 60s of keeping the wife happy and you're happy, you know?
Oh, please.
But
imagine.
The thing is now in 2018, they want it both ways. They want to go to the moon. They want to be strong. They want to be all leadership. Here's the idea that I have is hire the person who is best appropriated for the job. You know?
Yeah. Enough, they're out there.
Yeah. Enough with this.
Yeah.
Because as you know, we're turning around. We're minorities. Happening soon. It's happening soon. Go to New York City to Times Square and see all the people running around there. That's the future. That's the future of Nebraska.
I've been to New York twice and I liked walking around, but I have to be where there's not many people. I don't even know why I came back to a big city. But I like to walk.
You're the most people I've seen in 2 weeks.
Well, it's because you're going through something. I can help you with that.
Yeah. You like to walk around?
I like to walk around for like a half hour, go to the coffee shop, buy a newspaper, listen to the old timers say, Georgie Jessel's the funniest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Or if they're talking about stupid politics, I stay out of it because I'm not interested in let me wait for me to ask you, what do you think about the state of the economy? You know, like, whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
Don't just launch your
opinion. Are you going to do about it, right?
You can't do anything.
You can't do anything about it, so why complain about it? Because people want to talk, because people just like to talk. I was sitting around at the airport, and you know what they talked about? Weather.
Unbelievable. It's the same in Nebraska. They talk about the Cornhuskers or the weather. And I told them in the coffee shop, we must have more in common than the dang weather.
Right, right.
And they go, yeah.
I sat sitting at a restaurant, and I'm just looking around, listening to people. And I'm on my phone, I'm looking around, and I'm listening.
Yeah.
And it's all weather, a few things about, what do you do? And there's always a few hot shots that are always trying to pick something up. I would hate to be a woman, because they must think everybody's trying to get after you all the time. They don't understand that there's guys out there, they don't want anything to do with you.
What do you mean you'd hate being a woman? What does that mean?
I just don't think I would like it. I don't think I'd enjoy it.
Because
especially a good-looking woman.
All the wrong people.
Or a fair-looking woman. Even a bad-looking woman. I don't think I want to be a woman.
Because you would attract all people that are bad. You know they're bad, but you still talk to them.
Well, the thing is I can choose not to talk to people at this point. Because I'm a guy, and I'm not the best-looking guy in the world, you know?
From Medford, you're okay.
Yeah. But it's like I can ignore them. But a lot of times, women have to be defensive all the time. Like, I think I'm a defensive person.
Yeah,
I'm passive-aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but you are defensive.
But I don't think I'd want to be a woman. Do you understand what's going on with this transgender thing, with people just waking up at 12 years old and saying, I want to be a woman? What's going on with this?
That's called love is like OBGYN.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
No, I'm really happy with how God made me. How about you? If I was created and not born, I'm glad I turned out okay.
I don't think there is a God. I think there's got to be something better than us. That's what I think.
We're all going to be surprised.
But
nobody
knows. Probably one. That's the thing. I'm agnostic. That's what I am. I'm agnostic. I'm not an atheist. I'm agnostic.
A couple of
I don't know what I don't know.
Religious nuts that didn't have, book covers on their Bibles.
Yeah.
I met. And I stayed in a couple of shelters in Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And this is a true story, of course. I know I don't have to say that, but I'm going to say when I was 12 years old, somehow the priest at my church.
Did he touch you?
Nope. No. I wish he would, because then I'd know how to touch other people. Because I don't like people touching me, and I don't like touching people.
Yeah.
I have intimacy issues.
Yeah,
it don't
matter. Yeah.
So I go, somehow the priest found out I haven't read the Bible.
No.
He goes, how come you haven't read the Bible? You got to get into your Bible. And I said, I haven't read the Bible because I heard he dies in the end.
So there you go.
And then he came back to life to never die again. Can you explain that to me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you have to read the Bible. I go, no, you can't answer the question.
Yeah.
And that's it. No, we're all going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows.
Author unknown.
I read the Bible, so I know where you're going. Mm-hmm. How do you know? Do you have any document? Do you have your papers? Do you have any documentation to prove this? Is all I want, and they don't.
Well, the thing is, they want you to be part of the sheep. They want you
to be
part of the group.
Right.
And it's like they don't like independent free thinkers.
Too bad. I am free.
Yeah.
And you're not going to captivate me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody with an outstanding personality can kidnap me, but I haven't met them yet.
Janice Ian in the background.
I know.
I'm just. I think
she wrote the song too, right?
Yeah, at 17, and she was.
I love this song.
Yeah,
even when I first heard it.
She's still alive. She's alive, right?
Yeah, she's probably 72. Why don't you go Google it?
I'm
going to
Google
it.
Well, I use the Wikipedia.
Me too.
This is my second favorite Janis.
72 was my guess.
Janis Joplin, who was just a disaster. She was great, but
no talent. But I loved her.
Yeah, I would hang out with her. She was awesome. You hear her talk? She was just fantastic.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. It's great. Very down to earth.
You can't get over on people like that. That's what I like about
Janice Ian's still alive.
72 is my guess.
She's 67.
Wow.
Yeah. That's about